Well, you know what that song means.
So good.
It's time for another so visit.
I got
the attorney Christopher Johnson has stopped by the studio for the Attorney Johnson Radio Show. Morning.
Morning, Bob. How are you?
Doing just great. My favorite season. Feeling good.
I like fall myself, but spring also works for me. It gets us out of winter. But anyways, today, amongst those subjects of law, I figured it's well worth repeating because the month of May is Motorcycle Safety Awareness Month. And with all of us who are driving cars and all of us, those who are brave enough to ride the motorcycles, reminders, reminders, reminders are always good to have about motorcycle safety. There is not too much you can do, not too much safety training or awareness you could provide to keep people safe. As you know, I do personal injury law, along with criminal defense, DWI defense. Most of my work is surrounding by that. My office, www.chrisjohnsonlaw.com, is happy to talk to people about that. With motorcycle safety, there are a lot of things we have to take into consideration. The mere fact that there's a lot more motorcycles on the road as the weather starts getting better. A lot of people were out there in February this year because February got warm.
Yeah, it's nicer than March.
Oh, anyway, that's strange but true. But now, I mean, where I live, in Arundel, quite near the, near Lakeshore Boulevard, within a couple of miles of Lake Avenue on the other side of the river, I can hear motorcycles.
That's a biker favorite up there.
It is. Great place to
Beach
run.
Ontario Beach Park, you know, all the bikes in the parking lot there.
And a good sounding Harley, you can hear it a long ways away.
Yeah, you want to make noise when you're on two wheels, just to make sure people notice you.
Absolutely. Now, a lot of people say, well, I can't stand those noisy bikes. There's a reason why they're noisy. There's a reason why they're noisy so people can hear you, so you're aware of them. Because they take such a small amount of space up in the where they are, and they're not always findable in your mirrors. When you're driving, you want to be able to hear them.
It's like the guy that I talked to from Abate. I'm not sure that organization is still extant, by the way. They may be. He told the story about, he had fairly loud exhaust on whatever he was riding, pulled up alongside a woman who is violating the law. She's at the red light, and she's talking on the phone. And she looks at him. She rolls her window down and says, can you keep that thing quieter? I'm trying to talk on the phone.
It's amazing what people do. That's the other big danger is distracted drivers when it comes to motorcyclists.
Oh, my gosh. It's ubiquitous.
If somebody is texting their BFF, some 16, 17-year-old girl's driving daddy's car and texting her BFF while driving, that could be a problem.
I think it's 70%, 80% of people are on the phone. And, you can see it in traffic. If somebody is lagging behind traffic and they're slow getting away from when the light turns green, and they're leaving 10 car lengths between them and the person in front of them, safe bet, they're on the phone.
You know that they are texting or doing something that they shouldn't be doing. Well, with that, I was going to start talking about, first of all, for those of us and you're driving cars and trucks, you've got to be safe. You see a motorcycle, like I mentioned the last time, what I taught my kids to do, my three kids, if you see a motorcycle, keep track of them. Watch them, keep aware of where they are until you see them going in a different direction, going off. And then for those on a motorcycle, the best thing you can do ever is take a motorcycle safety course. Your insurance company will love you. They'll probably give you a discount for taking a motorcycle safety class. But more importantly, it puts you into a safer position on the road. With that, I was going to jump into the fact that the 10 motorcycle safety tips every rider should follow.
Yes. Let's go down those, baby.
Number one, wear a helmet and protective eye gear or face shield. Full face helmets are always the best because it gives you the best protection. And in order to be legal in New York State, since New York State is every rider and if you're riding a motorcycle or you're a passenger on a motorcycle, you have to have a helmet on. And it has to be a DOT, Department of Transportation, a federal Department of Transportation, approved helmet. And it has to have the sticker on it proving it is what it is.
Can't be the old World War I Army helmet.
It's a nice thought, or you know, having the World War II German helmet or something like that. Those are always fun to wear and then interesting to look at. And they can't have anything projecting off the top of it. You can't put spikes on the outside of it. You can't even wear our favorite is to put a camera on our helmet, because those are technically illegal, because those would, the curvature of the helmet follows the curvature of your head. That curvature is a protective layer, and anything that would interfere with that could potentially, as it hits the ground, project your head in a new direction if you were to come off the bike. So cameras, believe it or not, are not legal on helmets. Spikes are not legal on helmets, but they look really cool.
I had a bumper sticker on my helmet once, but
you got to. There's a lot of good stickers on those. Some of the helmets I've seen have some really funny stuff on it. But you don't have to get too close to a motorcycle to read that, because we want to keep our distance from the motorcycle rider to provide them safety. Gearing up. The gear. I've always heard this phrase and found it interesting is don't dress for the ride, dress for the slide.
Yeah, really.
Slide gear. I mean, protective covering. How many of us have seen the guy with his girlfriend on the back of the bike? The girlfriend's got shorts, flip-flops, and a halter top on.
I saw a guy riding solo like that. Yep. Sandals. Shorts, T-shirt.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to say he had the halter top on. That, you know, this day and age, anything's acceptable.
That's right.
Not advisable, though, because those type of things, you could get hurt on that. So wearing leather clothing, boots, non-skid shoes, those are some of the things that are common, because the flip-flops just are really not going to protect you. Almost anywhere you wear a flip-flop, they're not going to protect you, although they are comfortable at the beach. Rule number three, ride in your comfort zone. You want to ride first of all, your bikes should be the right size. And second of all, you want to ride areas you know, routes you know, places you know. If you go into strange locations, could be problematic, because if you don't know the road, you haven't seen what bumps are coming up, you haven't seen what debris might have been in the road, what dead skunk is still laying there, unless it's not a dead skunk and it's actually somebody smoking in their car, but that's a different story. You want to ride in your comfort zone. You want to know where you're riding. And also riding your comfort zone means having the right bike. If you can't touch your tippy toes to the ground while on the bike,
Too big.
They're more fun. I have a friend of mine whose husband is 6'7", and she's almost 6 foot, and they both ride a bike together.
Well, yeah. Well, that would work because they're both about the same size.
But it's one big bike. So this individual has to have ape hangers, which are those bars that stand up way up high, and he has to have pegs out on his front wheel. And then she's got a pretty much a lounge chair behind him on this thing built into the bike, so the two of them can ride it together. It's fascinating that you've got, you know, this guy 6'7" and someone almost 6 feet tall riding on a bike together, but it works. They can build anything for anything. Rule number four, check your forecast. Because if it's raining outside, two things can happen. Number one, the rain will feel like little needles hitting you if driving at 65 miles an hour. And number two, all that wonderful oil in the ground comes up from the ground and can cause you to be able to slip and slide. And we like slip and slides in our front yards when we were with our kids, but we don't like slip and slides when traveling down the New York State Thruway.
Yeah, at 65 miles an hour on two relatively narrow tires.
Yes, and those the oil comes up, your wheel makes contact with the road, does not have proper contact. So watch your forecast, riding in rain, and definitely riding in snow. We've seen people doing that too this year, is a dangerous thing. Rule number five, or tip number five, is inspect your ride. You want to make sure your bike is in good condition. So this is kind of like in cars, we don't always check our rides. Bus drivers, school bus drivers, they'll give their bus a inspection each and every single time before they take their kids out on it.
All right. We just pause momentarily to tell you that the Attorney Johnson is paid attorney advertising from the law firm of Chris Johnson. He had to take a little swallow of coffee there.
I did.
Or whatever it is you're drinking. I don't
know. Oh, actually, today it's kombucha with a little bit of Ceylon cinnamon in it.
Oh, fermented something.
Fermented something. It's good probiotic. Supposed to be good for you. It'll help me live longer. Blah, blah, blah.
You look like the picture of health. We endorse kombucha on the Attorney Johnson show.
That's right. It doesn't matter who makes it, but long as it's the probiotics that are kicking in and it tastes like vinegar. But anyway, so before you mount your bike, check your headlights. So when you're flying in an airplane, people who fly small airplanes or people who drive school buses, the rest of us drive cars and trucks, do not usually check our vehicle beforehand. If a light comes on and says a tire's low, we hopefully get to a gas station and do something about it.
But well, if you're a pilot, you've got a checklist.
You have a checklist. You walk around that car. You make up visual inspections. You check everything on that small plane to make sure it's properly ready to go. School buses, same thing. So on your motorcycle, you want to check your headlights, your taillights, your signal lights, make sure they're working. You want to check under your motorcycle, look for oil or gas leaks. By the way, it's been said about Harley-Davidsons that Harley-Davidsons don't leak oil. They just mark their territory.
Like that.
And so the Harley guys love that because it's, you know, if they leak, they don't leak. Hydraulic fluids, coolant fluids, anything that can cause the bike to go south on you. When you're driving a car, if, you know, your car overheats or something happens underneath the car, you're still on four wheels. You're still well balanced. And you're okay. Good. After you ride, it's always good to check your mirrors, check your clutch and throttle, check your brakes, check your horn. Make sure everything, after you're mounted, you want to make sure you check your mirrors, clutch, throttle, brakes, horn, because once you're on that bike, you want to be able to make sure that everything is functioning properly. You don't want to be calling your friend who hopefully has a motorcycle trailer to come out and rescue you. Always a good idea.
For riding in Indian, you want to check the air conditioning system. You want to check the rear view camera, the stereo system, the small refrigerator freezer, which is installed.
It's amazing what people can actually put on those bikes.
It's incredible. I had a guy give me a tour of one. I didn't ride it, but holy moly. It's like driving a Cadillac.
Some of those nice touring bikes are very nice. You could ride them forever. The crotch rockets, I don't think you could drive, 2 hours on those things. Most motorcycles you probably can't ride 2 hours without having to take a leg stretch. All right, so again, a reminder, we do a lot of motorcycle, do a lot of car, we do a lot of truck accidents. If you need to reach us, you can reach us at 585-415-3803. And we'll continue on with the rules. And hopefully one point during this riding season, I'm going to have my friend Rich on. He belongs to American Legion Posts in Greece. And he's one of the, I don't think he's the ride captain, but he's one of 40 members of this Greece American Legion Post, a group of motorcycle riders. And I'm going to have him talk a little bit about safety and tell us a couple of war stories, possibly. Because everyone knows that almost every time you get on a motorcycle, it is a dangerous situation. It's a dangerous situation because someone almost hits you each and every single time, most of the time you ride, if you're out there long enough. So that gets to rule number 6, which is ride defensively. I mean, I think the same thing should be talked about in cars. My kids, when they were taking driver's ed, you have one job to do, and that's to drive safely. You're to avoid accidents. Like a video game, instead of like, when you're playing Pac-Man and you're trying to hit all the dots, for those of us old enough to remember Pac-Man, or the kids who've discovered the retro version of it, you know, you're trying to hit all the dots. And this, we're the opposite. We're trying to avoid accidents. We're constantly looking for accidents, constantly looking to avoid accidents. If we do that, we could probably cut down more than 50% of the accidents in this world. Certain things you cannot avoid. But if you're always looking and driving defensively, you'll be fine.
My dad always used to say, leave yourself an out. I mean, we're necessarily talking about motorcycles, but just driving in general. But you know, leave yourself an escape.
I think you meant life in general.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So most of the time, at least statistically, it's been said that 2/3 of all motorcycle accidents are car driver related. It's their fault. It's not you. It's like your girlfriend back from your teenage years. It's not your fault. It's mine. So it's not your fault. A lot of these motorcycle riders, it is the car's fault. And so you got that going for you.
Not that that helps you be any less dead, by the way. So
no, that's why that good DOT helmet and riding safely is always very important. When traveling on a two-wheel vehicle, you should keep your headlights on. You should know where your blind spots are. You should know where the cars around you blind spots are and try to watch for them. And then always look for one of the most dangerous things, the two probably most dangerous things for a motorcycle, cars coming towards you that make a left-hand turn into a parking lot in a busy area. They're not going to necessarily see you. You're a small blip of metal. Most motorcycles are black, by the way. And you're going to blend in with the environment around you. Your black tire, that black highway. If you're wearing a black jacket, leather jacket, all that stuff's going to blend. And so when that car making a left-hand turn, who's looking left, looking right, trying to find out, oh, there's Taco Bell over there, and trying to make that left-hand turn into the parking lot, they're not necessarily paying attention to you.
Yeah, the old phrase goes, left turns kill.
And they definitely do. I've had more than a few car accidents where I've been representing people. And the other one was rear-end collisions, whether it's a car accident at a red light or where a motorcyclist or a car gets rear-ended. Those cause more back surgeries, I think, than anything else in the whole world, a rear-end collision. And so we handle a lot of those. If we need to, anyone needs to reach us, we can be reached at 585-415-3803, and happy to talk about it. So again, drive defensively. Be, you know, act like everyone else is out there to get you. Then, of course, after drive defensively, rule number 7, obey all traffic rules. Because if you're obeying all the traffic rules, you have a much better chance that you're going to be coming home to your kids, to your girlfriend, to your wife, to your husband, or to whoever else you have waiting who loves you at home. Very important. Follow the rules, and you've just increased your chance of coming home safely.
I've seen a lot of reckless riding. I really have. Speeding, you know, like cutting in and out of traffic, especially the crotch rockets. I mean, I know it's fun. That acceleration is a real rush, right? But all it takes is one person misjudging one thing for a fraction of a second, and you're off this planet.
Yes, you're checking out very quickly. Or that's impressive. I haven't seen it yet this year, but since last year. But every once in a while, I'm going down 590 North, and you see someone riding on one wheel. So instead of the two-wheel motorcycle, he's got one in the air.
Yeah.
And the big tire on the back is on the ground, and it's like, that is amazing. You're going to die. Be careful. And it's worrisome. Rule number 8, another one that's hard to do, especially if you're on a poker run or doing any other type of fun thing with the motorcycle club, is drive sober. So that should be both for cars, motorcycles, or anything else. Don't drink and drive. If you want to spend, you know, $3,000 to $7,000 on an attorney, increase in your insurance for the next 5 years of another couple thousand, $5,000. If you want to pay fees to the court and DMV into the thousands of dollars, so it could be over $10,000 and over a couple year time period. If you are arrested, safe and alive after a car or motorcycle accident. It's cheaper to take $25, $30 on an Uber ride and give the Uber driver, Uber Lyft driver, a couple of bucks as a tip because they got you where you needed to go safely. Recently, we did that. We went to I was given a gift certificate to a bartending class. We could take a couple, myself and my wife, we took a couple, learn how to make a couple of drinks, and we were smart enough to think, we should probably take Uber or Lyft.
Yeah, right on the way home.
Someone's teaching us how to make alcoholic drinks. We should do that.
What's the officer at your window? Where are you coming from?
Yeah.
By Ossifer, I'm coming from bartender school.
That's right. Ossifer, I'm not as thinky as you drunk I am. The old phrase goes. So ride sober, drive sober, do everything sober. Again, we do DWI defense. And there are times where we're the... We are doing the personal injury case for the person who got hit by the person who was drunk driving. Those cars can flip. It's amazing how many times in the Facebook 911 on Facebook I've been able to see the number of cars that have been flipped in the city of Rochester, the Rochester Facebook crime report. It's just absolutely amazing. Hey, rule number 9 is never a bad rule. Carry a first aid kit. Now, that should be something normal for your car. When I do work for Boy Scouts and I'm reviewing someone's, I do review of Eagle Scout projects for the Scouts. Having had a son who's an Eagle Scout, 3 brothers who are Eagle Scouts.
Wow, look at you, the family of overachievers.
I wasn't an Eagle Scout. I have Eagle envy. But anyways, all the Eagle Scouts in my family, including my son who became an Eagle Scout, I always make sure the Eagle Projects have bring a first aid kit. That's good for cars, good for motorcycles, and when you got that extra opportunity for something to whack you while you're riding, a bug, a bee, a stick, a stone, or something else, it's nice to have a first aid kit in case they hit that part of you that did not have protective clothing on.
And so you don't have blood in your eyes or, you know, whatever. I mean, that kind of thing can happen.
Little things. And then we're back to rule number 10, which is what I said at the very beginning. Take a safety course. Monroe Community College has a safety course and instructors that do that. You can look online and find several different authorized safety courses. Safety courses remind you of what you need to do and not do. Motorcycles on the road, you've got to be careful. You want to have reminders of what happens, what's happening, what's not happening. So always important to do that, to be safe at it. And those of us in car, people in cars and trucks, keep an eye on them, keep an eye on them, keep an eye on them.
Yeah. I mean, ride like you're invisible. And if you're driving a car, this is the time of year to ratchet up that awareness, especially at intersections. You know, with the quality of, I would say, the average driver in the city of Rochester having declined precipitously, I think, in recent years, so many people you find in the city of Rochester regard stoplights as optional. You know, they pull up to the red light and they gun it and go through the intersection. So what I do is I reduce speed approaching an intersection and I crank up the peripheral vision. I look at the side roads very carefully to see if I detect any motion, because if you're not careful, you could get T-boned.
Oh, a friend of a friend who was a trauma nurse at Strong Hospital, the only trauma center left in Rochester, she merely made a comment that light turns green, you still look both ways. You don't
Absolutely.
Drive into a green intersection, you look both ways because you'll end up in a trauma bay. You're going to be the person you'll pull through. Someone's going to blowing through that red light, whack. So you got to be careful with that, too. So in that, and then, of course, we have truck drivers that are overtired who have deadlines and shipments to do, and they sometimes will get into an accident, and they can be significant, get hit by something big. And if it's a full-loaded 18-wheeler, that's going to have a lot of weight behind, a lot of inertia, and a lot of bad things can happen. Hopefully you're in a vehicle. I had a client end up having a small personal injury case because he just had physical therapy and a few other things. The back of his pickup truck got destroyed, got smashed. He was stopped in traffic, 18-wheeler, tractor-trailer, guns through the back of him. His car splattered in all different directions, but the good people of Detroit designed a well-designed car. It sent most of the force in opposite directions than where he was sitting, and he safely not only survived it, but had went to a series of physical therapy and was able to buy a new truck with the money and some of the money, and then had some money towards his personal injury.
Yeah, well, but there's so many cases where, despite the wonderfulness of airbags, and they are a tremendous innovation, they've saved so many lives and they've reduced so many injuries, you still can be very seriously injured if you're not aware, if you don't take proper precautions. Even with all the safety devices, you're wearing a helmet while you're riding, you got your belt on, you've got the airbags galore all over your late model car, you could still wind up in the ER, and it can be life-changing. You know, you may never walk again the same way, but
absolutely
drive safely.
So, also, I would just got to be safe at all costs. I just want to do a quick shout out to a couple of things, a couple of people. Operation Freedom Ride, who brings cats and dogs up from kill shelters down south. A quick shout out to them because one of my dogs, Bojangles, the law dog, who we will feature at some point on my website, www.chrisjohnsonlaw.com, who has the Bojangles, has his on his collar and on his harness, as Bojangles the Law Dog, will be featured on there, and we're going to be talking about him a little bit and Operation Freedom Ride. What happens with that is these vans go down south to certain shelters, pick up cats and dogs, and bring them back up here. And as a result of that, I got a 42-pound dog, which I got up to 75 pounds and got him back down to 65 pounds.
Didn't stay 42 for long.
No, he was underweight. He had mange. He was terribly underweight and had mange. And then we got his weight back up to where it should be for a three-year-old dog. Got his hair fixed by a doggy derm. And besides having a doggy derm, we had a lot of good shampoos on him, a lot of good food. And Bojangles, the law dog, is doing fantastically.
And that's from the south?
He's from the south. I call him a Tennessee coyote because he is from Tennessee. He's mostly German Shepherd with some black lab.
He's a volunteer. Good for him.
He is. And a little bit of boxer in him because he is... because he's from Tennessee, and we really didn't know his full. We did a swab and got roughly what he might be. But he's got a small head. We were afraid of making his body bigger because his head would remain the same size and he'd look like Bluto. So shout out to Operation Freedom Ride, and a shout out to New to You, another pet adoption agency, and their Cleft Palate Unit, who provided my other dog, which was Roxy with a Moxie, a Cocker Spaniel, a fantastic Cocker Spaniel. We had to have surgery done for her cleft palate, and she is a marvelous dog. So I would say, folks, if you're interested in a dog, try to use these folks. Try not to use the puppy mills. Try to go get a rescue. They're fabulous dogs.
If you tried to buy a dog lately, it's difficult to do. I mean, and I would not buy from anybody online. I'm sorry to say that. But we got burned. A lot of people get burned. And these are mostly puppy mills.
And 585-415-3803 if you need any help or questions regarding personal injury, DWI, or criminal defense.
Thanks for listening to the Attorney Johnson with Attorney Chris Johnson. See how that works out. See you next time.